This morning, I'm going to do my best to preach a message to you that I know in no way will I be able to do the thought justice. I wish I had the tongue of angels. I wish I could wax eloquent. I wish I could somehow open the windows of heaven and speak to you what's in my heart. I certainly will do my best and ask God for help as we present it this morning, but I know that what I say is going to fall so far short from the heart of the message that it's going to take the Spirit and the power of God, applying the Scriptures of God and the thought to your heart to make it come alive for you. So I would like to ask God to help us lead through the service as we open in a word of prayer here as I bring this message entitled, Remember the Sacrifice. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today and the opportunity to gather together. We thank you for the blessedness of remembering what you did for us. We pray, dear God, that as I preach this message, Lord, a simple thought with just 2 points, but Lord, I ask that you would allow me to preach it in the spirit in which you would want it presented. I pray, God, that you would open every heart, that they may not even hear the words that are spoken, but the message, the heart of it, what you want them to see would be opened unto them. Lord, we pray, God, that you would do a work in our midst as our minds and hearts are turned back to the sacrifice that has been given to us. I pray you would lead and that you'd be honored and glorified and hearts would be drawn to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our verse for this morning, John 15, verse number 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Would you read it aloud with me? John 15, 13. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. On this day, this weekend, where we remember the millions of young men and women who have gone to war and have never returned. Those that gave the full measure of their strength and shed their very blood for the freedoms that we enjoy, we as a people refuse to forget their sacrifice. We are determined to remember what they paid to purchase the freedoms that we will enjoy. Tomorrow, as we are out in our yards and with our family and our friends and enjoying a surplus of food that most nations in the world cannot even attain to, as we have the freedom to gather and to go wherever we would like to tomorrow, we enjoy all those things because of the sacrifice that was paid by somebody else. Memorials are built to remind us of the accomplishments and the sacrifices, of the losses suffered by so many. As we are having our fun time tomorrow, there may be even some in this room who will have an empty seat at the dinner table. There is people all over this country who will gather in their yard for a picnic, but there's an empty spot there around the bonfire because of the loved one that they said goodbye to that went off to war and never returned. Remember those who served before. Remember those who are no more. Remember those who serve today. Remember them as you eat and run and play. Remember our protectors who are not in their homes today. Remember them all this Memorial Day. As we think of memorials, as we think of remembering those who have gone and done great things and accomplished great things and given the ultimate sacrifice, As we remember and give honor to them whom honor is due, today I would like to ask you to remember the soldier who sacrificed for our society. The soldiers who have sacrificed for our society. There has been hundreds, thousands, even millions through the history of America who have gone off to war and given their life for our freedoms that we enjoy today. They have paid the ultimate sacrifice, and by no means could I possibly even begin, if we had all of today, I could not begin to scratch the surface of the hearts that are holding the pain of a lost mama or a lost daddy or a lost son or a daughter who went to war and never came home. I could begin to tell you story after story after story after story and never ever do justice to those who carry that pain with them every day of their lives. I'm talking about families like the Sullivans. The Sullivans wanted to go to war so bad that they lobbied to be able to be enlisted. They wanted to fight for our freedoms of our country so much, they lobbied to be enlisted. And Mrs. Sullivan's five boys, all five of them were enlisted. Albert, Francis, George, Joseph, and Madison. They were all assigned on February 1942 and commissioned to the new crew of a U.S. cruiser. And it was only 9 months later, around noon on the 13th of November, 1942, that the Japanese submarine I-26 administered the coup de grace. To this stricken vessel, a vessel that was already broken down and just creeping along because of the conflict it had faced the night before in the Guadalcanal, it being already injured and barely getting along, one blow from the submarine sank it. And 10 days later, only 10 surviving crew members were lifted from the shark-infested waters, none of those being the Sullivans. Mr. and Mrs. Sullivan gave their five boys in one war, in one battle, in one day for the freedoms that you and I enjoy. I'm talking about ladies like Raven, whose 24-year-old husband was killed on January 8th of this year while on mission in Iraq. She said, "I don't know how to do life without him. We were childhood friends. We began to like each other in middle school. We were high school sweethearts and married shortly thereafter. I don't know how to live a life that has never had him out of it." She said, "I don't know how to tell his 3-year-old daughter that she no longer has a dad." I'm talking about families like this who gave the ultimate sacrifice so we could have fun tomorrow. There's nothing wrong with having fun, and I hope you have a great day. But as we do it, I'm asking you to remember the soldier who paid the sacrifice for the freedoms that we enjoy in our society today. In a bush, in a jungle, a man-child hides, hoping not to die. To his mother he cries, quiet and still he lies. Alone, lost, and scared, flashlights searching the air. Will they remember? Will they even care that he was hungry, tired, and scared? As bullets fill the air, he remembers the dare. He answered the call, and he is now given his all. In summation, what is a nation who asks so much from so few? It could have been me. It could have been you. So little is asked of us all from those who have answered the call. Do we remember? Do we still care that he died over there? I don't know whether it is love that motivated them, love of country or love of family. I don't know what a soldier's motivation might be. Maybe it is simply duty that he's going to do. What is his duty? To fulfill his job, his position. He's going to hold his line, whatever it might be. There's been so many soldiers over the years that have given the ultimate sacrifice for you and I to be able to enjoy the freedoms that we have today in America. And I'm asking you to remember that soldier today. I don't know what every soldier's motivation might be, but we have the blessed privilege of looking in the Scriptures. And as we secondly this morning, we remember the Savior who sacrificed for our salvation. Remember, secondly, the Savior who sacrificed for our salvation. As we remember that, we have the privilege of looking into the Scriptures. And the pages of the Scriptures give us a resounding answer for why he sacrificed and paid the ultimate price. And the answer is, he did it because he loves you. Because he loves you. The Bible says that he committed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He went to the cross and paid the ultimate price, the ultimate sacrifice, because of his love for you and I. This great soldier, Jesus, stepped onto the harsh battlefield one day. He took up arms and entered the fight that he knew would cost him his life. He bravely entered this and did not waver. The Scripture says he set his face like a flint towards that day, and he won this great victory at such an awful price for you and I. It was his perfect life and his perfect sacrifice that made him the perfect one for our salvation. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1, verse number 18, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold," verse number 19 says, "but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." Jesus Christ sacrificed and gave his all, and his blood was shed for you and I so that we could be saved. Why did he die? He died for you. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Why did he sacrifice? He sacrificed his life so you could know that you're on your way to heaven. The love of Jesus Christ is such that if you were the only person here on earth, the only one gathered here, that Jesus would have come to the cross and he would have hung there and he would have died so that you as an individual could know him as your Lord and Savior and be on your way to heaven today. He did it because of his love for you. This morning I ask you, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he gave the ultimate sacrifice and he loved you enough to die for you, I would plead with you this morning, don't let shame, don't let pride, don't let embarrassment keep you from trusting in a loving Savior who did that much for you. Trust him before it's eternally too late. Why did he die? He died for you. How did he die? He died on a cross. He was stripped of his raiment and bore the shame of nakedness before mankind. He bore the mockings and the slaps, the scourgings from a jeering crowd. They ripped his beard from his face and smashed a crown of thorns on his head. The Scriptures say that he was beat so much so that his visage was not known. His flesh was torn to his body from to a point that you could not recognize who it was. He died and was lifted up. He was lifted up on a cross and died for you and I. You know, you can't do anything for something that was already done for you. Jesus Christ paid your sin's debt on an old-fashioned cross. And you can't do anything to pay for that. A few weeks ago, I went with a couple of the members of the church here. I invited them to go. I says, hey, you want to go to dinner? Take you out to a nice meal. And we were going to take a guest speaker out to dinner. And we all got in the car, and we're going to go out to eat. And I looked over at the church members, and I said, hey, gentlemen, we have a problem. You see, I left my wallet home. So I invited you guys out to dinner, and I left my wallet home. So here's one or two options. We can drive all the way back to my house, and I'll get my wallet, or one of you can pay. So we went out to eat. One of them paid. But afterwards, I got some money together and came to the church member, and I says, hey, I invited you. I want to pay for that. And he's like, no, I paid for that. And I said, no, but I have the money right here, and I want to pay you. And he goes, nope, I ain't taking your money. I already paid for it. It's done. And I said, no, but I mean, I invited you, and I can't. You've got to take this money. And he's like, no, I already paid for it. It's all done. I'm not taking your money. You see, the bill's already been paid. I couldn't do anything to pay that bill. It's already been done. And Jesus Christ has paid the debt for you. It doesn't matter how much you want to pay it, and you could come and say, oh, but Jesus, I want to pay my debt by doing this, and I want to pay my debt by doing this. And Jesus says, you can't do anything for it. It's already been paid. It doesn't matter what means you have or how you think you are capable. He said the debt's been paid. He paid a debt he didn't owe, and I owed a debt that I couldn't pay. But I needed someone to wash my sins away. Jesus did it, and he paid that debt for you. When he went on to an old rugged cross, and you and I can do nothing except accept the free gift of salvation. And as we observe the Lord's table today, I'm asking you to remember what Jesus did for you. He died for your sins according to the scriptures. You can only remember something that has happened to you. You know, I could only recall that particular story about going with those men to the restaurant that day because it happened to me. Because it's something that happened to me. Now, maybe you've had something similar and you can remember something like that, but what I'm saying this morning as we take of the Lord's table, this do in remembrance of me, you're remembering what Jesus Christ has done for you. If you partake of the Lord's table, you're saying that I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, I've trusted Him and asked Him for forgiveness of my sins. And today I'm remembering the sacrifice He paid, and I'm thanking Him for it. You're remembering what He did for you. That's what it's about. He was betrayed by a trusted friend. He knew Judas would betray Him in the end. False witness did rise up and accuse, but he opened not his mouth to refuse. He gave his back to that cruel scourging. Unmerciful they were without urging. Pain and agony beyond compare. His bones didn't even look as they stared. They plucked the hair from his cheeks. They mocked and insulted, but he was meek. They made a crown of the sharpest thorns crusted on his head to adorn. As he trod Calvary's road that day, the jeering crowd barely gave him way. Such awful hate made his heart to break. Could they not see that this was for their sake? That relentless scourging left him so weak. He lost much blood and he could barely speak. As he struggled to carry his cross, he ne'er did think all this to be lost. When he reached the top of Calvary's hill, that jeering throng was with him still. They drove huge nails into his hands and feet, making sure their job was complete. He died on the cross to save your soul. Most don't think so, but he is in control. Only he can grant the key to heaven's gate. Trust and accept him before it's eternally too late. He did it for you. As I give you a couple of closing thoughts here, remember the soldier that sacrificed for our society. Remember our Savior that sacrificed for our salvation. We honor the soldier by being good citizens. We honor the soldier by obeying the laws of the land, by having respect for the flag that we carry. We honor our Savior by obeying the book, by following what he says, by having respect for the Word of God. We purpose in our hearts to remember this sacrifice, and that's why we thank soldiers for their service when we see them out in public places. That's why we take our kids to visit memorials as they are erected around for us to remember. When we stand before a memorial, whether it be a Vietnam memorial, the Korean War, or World War, our hearts are broken for the loss that was suffered, for the pain that those people endured. We stand in awe as we contemplate the sacrifice that was paid for us, in much the same way as we stand to partake of the Lord's table. We should stand in awe of a Savior who gave it all for you and I. That's why we go to church. That's why we observe the Lord's Supper. And we shouldn't do it flippantly. I've been by the memorials in D.C. at times, and sometimes you're standing there by a memorial and you're sitting there and just, it doesn't matter how many times I see it, when I go again and I stand before that memorial and I just see that list of names, it just seems to go on forever and ever. And you stand there and it hits you, the sacrifice that was paid for you. And then you might see sometimes somebody around there, some kid running around and playing, and then they're playing and they knock over the flowers that somebody left in honor of their loved one. And you'll see some old soldier wearing a hat from his time of service. And he's like, hey, cut that out. This is a place of respect. This is to be honored. This is to be solemnly recognized. And as we partake of the Lord's Supper, it's not to be done flippantly. It's a solemn time. The Bible uses the word worthily. Worthy. You don't take of the Lord's Supper unworthily. You realize and you recognize the fact of what Jesus did for you, and this is a holy thing. People prepared for holy things. When Moses was there by the burning bush, it was a holy place, and Jesus, God talking to him, said, Moses, what did he say? Take your shoes off. You are on holy ground. He had to prepare. The priests, when they went into the holy place, they washed themselves and they washed their hands and they got clean before they went into the holy place. And before a Christian partakes of the Lord's table, there's a time of an examination where we are to prepare for this holy thing, where we wash ourselves, where we clean ourselves by the blood of Jesus Christ, where he said, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And if you're here today and you're saved and you're on your way to heaven and you're going to partake of the Lord's Supper, I encourage you to do so. But don't do so flippantly. Don't do so carelessly. Realize how solemn of an occasion this is, and do so reverently and with a clean heart before an almighty God. Wash me and make me clean. We're going to have a moment of invitation. We're going to have a time where you can do a self-examination and get yourself ready to partake of the Lord's table. Prepare spiritually, just as citizens of this country should never forget and never take for granted the sacrifice and the cost of the freedom that we enjoy day by day. So the Christian should never take for granted the sacrifice of the great Savior who paid the price for our salvation. And as we observe the Lord's Supper today, I ask you to remember that. Remember it. That's what Memorial Day is about, is remembering. And that's what the Lord's table is about, is remembering what Jesus did for you.